In a moment, with David, we're going to go to the phones. It'll be interesting to see what you have to say about all of this. And the truth shall set you free. Surely it would. The only question is, what is the truth? You've got to answer that before you can be free. All right. Once again, back to David Icke. David, before we go to phones, is there anything that... given the short time we've had, you have not been able to get on the air and want to get on the air before we do this?
Well, normally the questions take us in all these different other areas that because it's an amazing fact that once you see the structure and the agenda, virtually everything fits into it. Because what we're looking at is not actually a series of conspiracies and manipulations, but different aspects of the same one manipulation. And I would make this point, too. What I'm actually talking about, funnily enough, is not a conspiracy at its heart. It's an agenda. The conspiracy comes in three ways. One, removing those people and organizations that are a threat to that agenda becoming reality. Putting people into positions of political and economic power that will make that agenda become reality, and manipulating the mass of the people through problem, reaction, solution to get them to demand the agenda becomes reality even though they don't realize it exists. In other words, do something, centralization of power is the answer. So these apparently unconnected conspiracies are actually connected by one thing, and that is either a threat to the agenda being removed, someone will bring the agenda in being put into power, or problem, reaction, solution to bring the agenda in and have it demanded by the public. So these are one manipulation with many faces, not a series of unconnected ones.
All right. I would like to, if I can, then go to the phones and let people ask you some questions, see how you deal with it. All right, fine.
Yeah.
Here we go. First time caller line, you're on the air with David Icke. Where are you, please?
Hello. My name's Alan. I'm in the Seattle area, and I'm listening to you on the Como 1000.
Of course.
And I have a question for David.
Hi, Alan.
Hi. I'd like to know if you know anything about Dr. Spock, you know, from the 50s. He was a psychiatrist.
The children guy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, I know nothing kind of direct on him, but in the general point... one of the things that I expose massively in the next book in February, The Biggest Secret, and other people have also done a lot of research into this area, is actually the Tavistock network in London. For historical reasons, London is a major, major center of this web. Not the government, which is just another facade string pulled from behind, but actually the center of this web, epicentered in London some centuries ago, and this is why they had the great British Empire. It wasn't actually the British Empire, it was the empire of this group that had based itself in London, which is rather a different thing. And the Tavistock Institute is actually the center of the mind and mass consciousness manipulation web. They do tremendous research and have done for decades and decades, looking at what stimuli are needed to get a mass reaction of a certain kind. They also have worked with individual mind control. And getting to children very early is has been a very, very big part of their operation and the whole manipulation, because if you can get them young, then you've got them for life. And interestingly, you know, these guys all over the world that keep going crazy with guns and killing children, like we had this guy Thomas Hamilton in Dunblane, who killed the children in the gymnasium, and we've had this guy Martin Bryant in Port Arthur, Australia. Well, the manifestations of these guys who go crazy with guns, and then, of course, you've got a problem. And what is the solution every time? Taking guns out of circulation. And what has happened is that we've got, after these events happen, we've got pulled into a debate of whether guns are good or guns are bad, which is a debate worth having. But the bigger debate at this time is this: why, in every country virtually I go into, has someone gone crazy with a gun in the street or whatever, and then the solution has been gun laws, taking guns out of circulation? Why is that happening everywhere now? And when you relate that to some of the things we've been discussing tonight on this show about the agenda coming up across the millennium, it's much easier to impose things on an unarmed population than an armed one. And what I've come across only this week is this guy, Martin Bryant, who went crazy with a gun. He killed 35 people, something like that, in Port Arthur just a few years ago. He was treated, quote, for psychiatric disorders by a guy called Dr. Cunningham Dax, who was a Tavistock operative in Australia, and for many decades was a close associate of a guy called John Rawlings Rees, who was the inspiration from the start to create the Tavistock network of mind control research and imposition. So when you look at Jonesboro in this country and many other events where people do spectacularly off-the-wall things, we need to understand that it is possible to program the subconscious to do that, and then all it needs to activate is the trigger, and that subconscious programming becomes the conscious action. And to understand that is to understand many of the apparently inexplicable things that go on, and why, again, assassin after assassin and crazy man with a gun after crazy man with a gun is dubbed in the, with the same character profile, lone nutter, no conspiracy. And so the manipulation of children and the minds of the adult population is all part of this manipulation, because I said to Art, as I said to Art earlier, you cannot control billions of people physically. You have to do it through the mind and the emotions, and that's the way it's done.
So you believe that the philosophy that he put forth might have something to do with the chaos we're seeing now in children?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should let my personal opinion is that we should let children have access to all information, and we should encourage them to make their own mind up. And I think once we start playing with methods and processes and systems with children's minds in whatever way they are, we are already creating a prison situation instead of encouraging them to be free in their thinking. And I think there's a lot of people, you know, who talk about freedom and the need for freedom, and then when you talk about the way they bring up their children, they say, oh, well, of course I bring them up the way I believe. Well, that's not freedom, and I think we ought to put all information in front of everybody and then respect their right to come to what conclusions they want to come to instead of telling them what they should believe, which is what happens most of the time from cradle to grave.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you for the call. And Wild Card Line, you're on the air with David Icke. Hi.
Hello.
Hello, where are you?
Yes, hi, this is Jeff. I'm calling from near Tampa, Florida.
And on a digital cellular phone in a vehicle.
Yes, sir.
See, I'm psychic. Go right ahead.
No, yeah, I knew you would like this phone. actually, my question is this. The gentleman, you were mentioning an agenda, and
yeah.
I was wondering if, you know, with the coming of the millennium and whatnot, if you suppose maybe this agenda could be from perhaps, you know, a higher power, like, you know, could this be in the big plan, you know, maybe God's plan, or could ultimately this be have something to do with, you know, the coming of the Antichrist or, you know, anything of that nature? So I heard you talking, mentioning some things about having a spiritual awakening and some experiences of that sort.
Yeah, but
I
also made the difference in my view of life. And like I say, we need to be at peace with the way each of us believe. I have a simple philosophy. Believe what you like as long as you don't impose it on anyone else. And So I made the distinction in my view of life between religion and spirituality. They can be the same thing, and people can express their spirituality through religion, but there are other aspects of religion that can be anything but spiritual. I don't think the Inquisition in Europe was an incredibly spiritual experience, and indeed was one of the main fundamental means that I talked about earlier of sucking knowledge out of the public arena so it could be hoarded even more tightly in the secret society network, because, you know, 5 minutes of the Art Bell show would have been a suicide note at the time of the Inquisition, of course, because you weren't allowed to talk about these things. But in terms of the agenda and what have you and what's behind this, I go into this in enormous detail in The Biggest Secret, which is just about to go to press. It seems to me the way that I'm looking at these things now is that one of the key reasons why there is an obsession, there are a number of reasons, but one of the key reasons why there's an obsession with holding this genetic structure is somehow the vibrational resonance between that structure and the consciousness, which I think is operating from the lower fourth dimension, what other people call the lower astral, whatever name you call it. I call it the cesspit level. It's a level that vibrates to the lower vibrational emotions like fear and guilt and all this stuff.
You were speaking of the astral plane.
Yeah, I think that these particular key bloodlines resonate to a vibrational frequency that is far more compatible with this lower fourth dimension than the other genetic lines that are not of this particular type. And I think this world is actually being controlled from a consciousness that from the lower fourth dimension, myself, and it particularly works through these particular bloodlines. And if you like, for want of a word, it can possess these bloodlines far more easier than it can the general human population. And therefore, if you can manipulate these particular bloodlines into the positions of power in the world, what you're actually doing is manipulating into these positions of power a physical form which has a resonant compatibility with this lower fourth dimensional consciousness. In other words, you're putting the fourth dimensional consciousness into the positions of power. And I've talked to so many people around the world who have come to this conclusion. It's staggering numbers, really, because it's not something that's widely talked about.
David, one quick interjection here. If there is at least a partial central control right now, and you certainly have alluded to that, why in the hell aren't they doing a better job? The world is a mess right now, and if there is any kind of central control, they're certainly not exerting it with any effectiveness whatsoever. We have starvation, we have third world countries that are a disaster, that are beginning to industrialize, we've got Iraq, we've got little wars and troubles going on all over the place. Where is the control?
Exactly. You've actually described perfectly the control. And let me say some more about that. Try manipulating harmony. It's very difficult. Say I've got a room of people with me here. I haven't actually. But if I had a room of people with me here, and we were in harmony, we respected each other's right to have a difference of opinion, and we wanted to help each other when we were in trouble, and we were together, and we were really supporting each other. You try manipulating that situation. If I have a room of people here, and I don't like that person, and I'm having conflict with that person, and he doesn't like the lady over there, and they're having conflict, suddenly you're in a situation you can control, because now you've got sides to play off against each other. So chaos is fundamental to control. Actually, the 33rd degree of Freemasonry, I understand, has a Latin motto, ordo ab chao, order out of chaos, which actually is problem, reaction, solution. And you talk about the famine and the starvation and stuff. Well, that's fundamental to the control for this reason. When you are in a situation where you have abundance and you have, therefore, choice, you are much more in control of your life. You're not dependent, that's the key word, you're not dependent on someone else to fill your belly. You're not dependent on some unpredictable, manipulated world commodity market so that you have to depend on the price that sets for what you're selling to whether your country's going to eat or whether this is going to happen or this is going to happen or not. So what has happened, for instance, in Africa? I mean, I've been to Africa quite recently, and the idea that Africa cannot feed itself is utterly ludicrous.
No, but I'll tell you what is going on in Africa. I was there a month ago.
Yeah.
What's going on in Africa is anarchy.
Exactly.
And I mean serious anarchy in the cities, Johannesburg, even Cape Town. You cannot go out at night and expect to live through the experience. I mean, the crime rate there is absolutely unbelievable. And since Nelson Mandela took over, I think he's afraid to move politically because he's afraid to be seen as that which was, you know, the iron hand that had control of everything supposedly at one time. And so he's doing nothing. And as a result, it's Russia times 10 right now over there. It's horrid.
Right. Well, I can talk about that because I too have been to Johannesburg and spoke and researched all around.
Well, then you know
that area of the world. Yeah,
you know.
But I'll just make this point before I come to that. The point being that what has happened in Africa is that transnational corporations with an interlocking leadership, when you go high enough up the pyramid, have gone in there and they have taken food-growing land, they have put corrupt politicians in there to rule on their behalf, as they say, like the military junta in Nigeria, etc., which is controlled by Shell Oil.
Right.
And therefore, they have created a situation in which a continent that could feed itself is not feeding itself as a first priority. It's growing vast amounts of its food-growing area. It's growing cash crops for the Western industry and the Western food industry and the Western chocolate industry, etc. And therefore, it's making Africa dependent over whether it eats or not on selling those commodities, getting money back, and then buying food in. It's created dependency, and dependency equals control. But the South Africa situation is very, very interesting and a fundamental point to make here. When I talk about the Great British Empire and all that stuff, people say, yeah, I can understand that. The empire, it controlled this country and it controlled that country, but it doesn't control them anymore, so it can't be true now. Well, what has happened? And this is so important a point to make, is that overt control, in-your-face dictatorship, always has a finite life because people know where they are. They're
right.
In a dictatorship.
Right.
And eventually the human desire for freedom will rebel against that. So the most profound and effective form of control is covert control, whereby you're running the show, but no one knows you're running the show because people don't rebel against not being free when they think they are. Now, let's take the South African example of this. It's a wonderful example.
Okay.
Before Mandela was led off Robben Island and became president, the Oppenheimer family controlled 80% of the stock on the South African stock market. They owned the diamond and the gold mines on which the economy depends, and they controlled the media through various frontmen. Because that was we had white minority rule, that was an in-your-face, overt dictatorship. There was, of course, a great rebellion against it. The whole focus of world attention was, this is not free, this is apartheid, this is outrageous.
Mm.
So we then have the move to Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela is now president. Okay, who controls the country? Today, under black majority rule, the Oppenheimer family control 80% of the stock on the South African stock market. They own the diamond and gold mines on which the economy depends, and they control the media through various frontmen, not least an Irish guy called Tony O'Reilly. The difference is, however, Art, that no one's pointing to South Africa now and saying, it's a dictatorship, it's not free human rights, because they're saying, oh, South Africa's sorted. We've got a black president, and off they go. But the same people run the show. And this is what's happened. As the great empires of Europe contracted on the surface, they left behind the bloodlines, and they left behind the secret society networks that have gone on running those countries covertly. And that can go on forever until someone points out that it's going on, because most people don't realize who runs their country.
All right, we can't go on forever. We've got to stop here. It's the bottom of the hour. David Icke is my guest. I'm Art Bell from the high desert. This is Coast to Coast AM.